Welcome to this month's Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, here on KDLL 91.9 FM Kenai Soldat, and a listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. We've got a lot of great stuff for you this month. First up, as always, thanks to Recess Duty for playing us in with our theme song. So let's get started with this month's beer news. The 10th annual Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival took place on Saturday, August 14th, and was a great success. There were 20 breweries in attendance, along with food trucks and live entertainment at the Soldotna Sports Center. Hometown favorite Kenai River Brewing Company took home the People's Choice for Best Brewery again, while 49th State Brewing's Alaskano Coffee Lager, brewed with beans from local Declination Roasting Company, took the award for Best Beer. Bear Paw River Brewing opened its new location at 240 East Railroad Avenue in downtown Wasilla on Saturday, August 7th. The new location features a wood-fired pizza oven. The brewery's original location will also continue to operate. Grace Ridge Brewing has made the official public announcement of its intention to shift its liquor license to 870 Smoky Bay Way in Homer. Construction on its new building there appears to be proceeding quickly. Anchorage Brewing Company has completed construction of its wooden cool ship. A cool ship is a fermentation vessel that traditionally serves two critical purposes in the lambic or other spontaneously fermented beer brewing process. The first is to cool the wort by quickly spreading it out over a wide surface area. This was critical in the days before artificial refrigeration. The second purpose is to enable the process of spontaneous fermentation by introducing the desirable wild yeasts and microorganisms from the environment. So this new vessel will enable the brewing of beer spontaneously fermented using yeast native to Anchorage. At this year's Kenai Peninsula Fair, held from August 13th to 15th in Inilchik, the Beer Garden only sold beers from Latitude 65 Brewery in Fairbanks. The beers on tap were Arctic Wisdom Double IPA, Dandy Spruce Hybrid Wit, Zesty Pale Ale, Grapefruit Edition, and the Tart Cherry Hard Seltzer. The 9th annual Capital Brew Fest will be held in Juneau on September 25th. This event is a charity fundraiser for the Juneau Rotary. This year's event will be held outdoors and all attendees must be vaccinated. On September 1st, Alaskan Brewing Company will be offering a new beer in limited release, Midnight Haze IPA. The new brew is a cross between the very popular New England IPA and the Black IPA styles. Grapefruit, stone fruit, and melon hop aromas give this exciting new brew an inviting flavor grounded in the coffee, chocolate, caramel, and toffee notes of an early fall profile, said Rob Day, brewing manager at Alaskan. Midnight Haze will be released in 6 packs of 12-ounce cans across Alaska and in select markets in the lower 48. That's it for this month's beer news. Up next, we'll have interviews with brewers at the Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival. First up is Zach Lamphier of Bleeding Heart Brewery.
It's good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you. Been a while.
Well, this is the first festival in a year and a half.
Glad you came down here for this one to be the first one.
So am I.
So you guys are in your new location with co-located with Alaskan Picker and doing real well, right? Got a kitchen now, all kinds of good stuff.
Oh yeah, we had that opportunity to move into the Picker building. We knew that we had to get off the farm. We had gotten too big for our britches. And so having the opportunity in Alaska Picker has been awesome. It's a very, it's a collaborative event where both of us can share the customers. We've licensed the entire property. You can get a beer, you can walk around Alaska Picker. We've got the kitchen going on, so now you can get food, and the chefs are amazing. They have taken the same mindset that we have with beer and put it into the food. So we rotate our specials, we rotate our menu almost as often as we rotate our taps.
Excellent. Well, we definitely got to get up there and check it out. So what are you going to be pouring today here at the fest?
Today we've got the Mass Appeal Alt Beer. It's an amber-inspired alt beer. We've got our See You Tomorrow Hazy IPA with raspberries, and then our Grounds for Divorce Coffee Porter that we pretty much bring all the time.
I was going to say, you've won the Best in Fest here at least once. Where was it twice with that one?
At least once. Yeah. For sure. Yeah, we did it once. It is our most award-winning beer. Right. We've won a number of other awards at festivals and fairs with the coffee porter, so we always bring it.
Oh, great. Thanks for coming down. Really appreciate it, and look forward to getting and checking out your new digs up there.
Absolutely, Bill. We look forward to you making your way by.
All right. So here we are at Girdwood Brewing. Gentlemen, introduce yourselves.
Brett.
And my name is Timmy Ball.
Welcome to the Beer Fest. So what are you guys pouring here from Girdwood?
We got our flagship, No Women, No Cryo. We have a Glacier Shake and Orange Milkshake IPA, and then Dysfunctional Fruited Sour with Guava and Passion Fruit.
I'm familiar with the Dysfunctional and the No Woman, No Cryo, but tell us about the Glacier Shake.
Yeah, it's a milkshake IPA, so that means it's got lactose and vanilla in it, and basically hopped similar to like a New England IPA, hazy in color, just a little more body, a lot fruitier. Vanilla kind of smooths it out with a creamy finish, so like a milkshake in your glass.
All right, I gotta have to try that. So here's a question that I'm gonna ask the brewers this year. What brewery or whatever are you looking forward to trying?
Oh, I don't know. I always like St. Elias. Maybe Denali has something unusual. Kind of places we don't get to a lot.
So how's your summer been going up in Girdwood? Been busy?
Yeah, it's been it's been a ruckus in a good way. The weather's been kind to us, and the crowds have been nicer. A lot of good beer pouring.
And you guys usually have food trucks in too, right?
Oh yeah, two on site most every day of the weekend, and then one on site throughout the course of the week. All local Alaska or otherwise Girdwood proper food trucks. Very eclectic, very diverse menus.
Well, hey, thanks for stopping into the fest. We really appreciate you guys coming down. Is this your first one in post-COVID, or have you been somewhere else first?
Yeah, it feels like our first beer fest ever again.
Yeah, right.
Had to remember how to do it. Huh?
Yeah, I think we remembered all the parts
and
pieces.
Where did we put all that equipment? Yeah.
There's a lot of muscle memory and beer curls, you know, like it comes right back to you.
We got the jockey box, so that's pretty much all that matters.
All right. Well, hey, guys, thanks a lot. Thanks for coming down.
Cheers,
I
really
appreciate it. Cooper Landing Brewing Company. Folks, please introduce yourselves.
I'm Colin Presby. I'm the brewer at Cooper Landing right now.
Thanks for coming to our little festival here. So how's your summer been going out in Cooper Landing?
It's been great. The fishing's been fantastic. And if you've ever been to Cooper Landing, there's a lot of fishing going on. And we've got our beer garden has been steady and full all summer long. So it's been a great summer.
So you usually have a food truck there too, right?
Blue Yeti? Yeah, we got our Blue Yeti food truck. Exactly. He makes probably the best burger on the peninsula, and I partake a couple times a week, I would say. But really fantastic food. He's kind of food truck in residence, so he's there all the time. Open pretty much the same hours we are.
So what are you guys pouring today?
So today we've got our Cryo Camper, which is a New England style hazy IPA, 6.3%, kind of everything you're expecting out of a hazy. Our smoked porter is a really nice smoky porter, good character, great with pairing with food. So this is kind of my food and beer type beer. And our Last Supper seltzer, this batch is cranberry blueberry. So it gets a little bit of tartness from the cranberry, as well as kind of the nice sweet blueberry. And really fantastic pink color.
Another sign of the apocalypse. Okay, great.
Listen, we kind of round out the spectrum. I'm a big fan of classic styles, absolutely, but You know, brewing a hazy IPA.
The public what they want.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, it's very distinctive with the bright pink color. I look out in the tap room and I see, you know, one in every four is a seltzer.
Sad, another sign of the apocalypse.
Yeah, hard to argue with that, though.
So what are you guys looking forward to trying here at the festival? Anything in particular? Anybody, brewery or beer you got your eye on?
Well, I'm pretty new to the Alaska beer scene. I've been brewing professionally for about 11 years, most of which was in Pennsylvania. The last 5 years, though, I've been with Carnival Cruise Line, brewing at sea. And so this is my first. I got to Alaska just a couple months ago and really looking to try things, breweries I haven't gotten a chance to get to. You know, I've done a lot of stuff down on the peninsula, but there's a couple others that I'm spotting out here that I want to check out.
Well, hey, thanks again for coming to the festival. We sure appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Anyway, we're here with Gacona Brewing Company. You guys probably have come the farthest from anybody. I don't count Alaskan because they're like an empire in and among themselves. But to come all the way from Gacona, really appreciate it. So go ahead and introduce yourself to our audience.
I'm Dominic Eubank, and this is my wife, Rachel.
Hi.
Welcome to the festival. We appreciate you guys coming all this way. So what are you pouring from Gacona?
This time we're going to do three beers. We have our grapefruit IPA, the Killer Rabbit IPA, which is the East Coast style, so it's a little more mellow on the hops. And then we're going to do our Bunnyberry Wheat, which is a blackberry-raspberry mix.
So we don't see Gacona down here very much. Has anybody got you on tap on the peninsula that you know of?
Nobody on the peninsula so far. We got a few places in Anchorage, Tent City Tap House for one, and then Hacienda, the Mexican food restaurant off DeBar and Edward as well. And then we're kind of working a little bit with trying to get a few more places.
So, and have you guys started canning at all yet? Or are you purely on tap?
We're still mostly working kegs and then doing the 32-ounce crowlers, working space issues, trying to figure that out.
Yeah, I've seen the brewery. It's not exactly spacious. So, is there any particular brewery here that you're really looking forward to trying their stuff? Anything you haven't had that you got your eye on?
I think the only one I haven't personally tried yet is Cooper Landing, so probably make a pit stop over there and see what they have. But other than that, I know most of the guys here have been to do a few festivals and tried a lot of their stuff.
Anything that you would recommend?
The Grapefruit IPA is the new one that we did this year. I would recommend that one for sure. And then we've kind of refined a little bit of the brewing process. So actually the ABV on the Killer Rabbit as well has bumped up. They're both running, I think, the Grapefruit's like a 7.3 and the Killer Rabbit's like a 7.0% right now.
Well, great. We'll have to check them out. Thanks, Dominic. Appreciate it. Nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you as well.
So you guys enjoy the festival.
Appreciate it.
Denali Brewing. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name's Alex Campbell. Come down to pour for you guys all the way from Talkeetna.
Appreciate you making the drive. So what are you pouring for everybody today?
Well, we've got a couple of things. For the connoisseur session, we brought our new Salmon Safe Pail. It's all of the farming involved with the grains and malts is responsibly done and ensured salmon safe for the fisheries. We've also got a new hazy IPA. It's the Kantishna Haze. We've got our Blues and Wheat, which is always a fan favorite in the wintertime. And then on the Alaska Cider Works side of the business, we brought our Pink Petal Perry down.
Those all sound great. So what do you, you got your eye on anybody here that you really want to try their stuff? Anybody you haven't had? Anybody you want to check out?
Oh, always. My favorite part of the summertime out here is getting together with all the other breweries and, you know, trying new things and just visiting all our brethren from across the state.
So you don't have your eye on anything in particular, huh?
Not yet. I still got to make the rounds.
All righty. Well, hey. Thanks for coming down. Appreciate it. Thanks for talking to us.
Yeah. Have a great day.
So here we are with Doug Hoag from Kenai River Brewing. Doug, how you doing today?
Really good. It's sunny and the beer festival has started.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know. The Soldotna Rotary seems to have a hotline to the weather gods. They usually
managed to arrange good weather for this thing.
Perfect.
All right. So, how's summer been at the brewery?
Summer's been super busy, and yeah, we've been real happy. A drastic change from last year, which is very welcome.
So, what are you pouring today?
So, the kind of the feature beer is Putin's Pleasure Town, which is a Baltic porter, and we are kind of hacked by the Russians, and Vladimir Putin has kind of taken over the logo of Midnight Sun's Pleasure Town, and you have to find a Putin when you're here to get to sample the beer. That's kind of the deal. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that sounds just complicated enough to be accurate. So what else are you guys pouring besides Putin's Pleasure Town?
So every hour we're going to switch to two different beers. So right now we actually have an oak-aged Winter Warlock, which we haven't even released at the brewery yet. So that's delicious. And then we've got four different years of the Spruce Tip Double IPA. So those will be changing and going back in time for the next 4 hours.
Excellent. So, anything here, any brewery that you're particularly looking forward to checking out?
You know, I've already done that.
That's the advantage of being one of the brewers. Okay, yeah. So, why wait with the hoi polloi when you can drink it early?
Yeah.
Good deal. So, have you got anything exciting and new coming out at the brewery in the next couple of months that folks should know about?
Beer-wise, we're always coming up with something a little bit different, and we're just getting into the time where we can start to pull that off, I guess. In the meantime, we were able to brew a new Moose Gallop for Salteshi Trails, Salteshi Trail Ale. We're behind drastically on having those because usually those are at the beginning of the summer. But all of them are going to come out, so those are the next in the pipeline. So not new, but we do have a couple new ones that are in the works.
Great. Well, hey, looking forward to trying your stuff here at the fest as soon as I get my glass, and we'll check it all out. Thanks.
Good luck. Beware of Russians.
Hello and welcome back to Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, here on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. Today we have the great privilege to interview the Dean of Alaska Beer Writers, Jim Dr. Fermento Roberts from Anchorage and the Anchorage Press. James, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing just fine. A little too early to drink beer, but I'm on my way.
That's right. It's, what do they say, 5 o'clock somewhere. Anyway, beer festivals are back, man, and isn't that great?
Yeah, I agree. And I wrote a piece for the press on that talked about, I didn't realize how much I missed them until I started hearing the news that they were returning. And it caught me off guard how pleasant that felt. And your recap of the Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival, you know, added to that excitement. And then, as you know, last week was the new version of the Great Alaska Beer and Barley Wine Competition that was called the Alaska Craft Beer and Barley Wine Festival now. And as you know, that didn't happen for obvious reasons, but they decided to do a summer festival, which was really interesting to me. To the best of my knowledge, the first time in the history of the fest that it's ever genuinely been outside, and the first time in the history, 26-year history of that overall festival, that it's happened in the summertime. So
it's funny. I believe the last beer festival that I went to pre-COVID was the Alaska Craft Beer Festival in January of 2019, something like that, just before the world came to an end.
That's correct. And it had transitioned at the time from the Egan Center with Peak to Peak Productions taking it over and, quote, installing it in the Denina Center. So about 3/4 times more space there, a little more spread out, but with a lot of room to grow. And that's important because this year, new additions have been the addition of mead, ciders, seltzers, and hard kombucha to the lineup. So there's a lot more for everybody, but that in turn requires more space. So our beloved long-term festival is beginning to morph, and I think it's catching up with modern times. So this is a good thing. And for thirsty festgoers out there, rest assured that they're already in planning. Peak to Peak is already planning the 2022 Last Craft Beer and Barley Wine Festival for the weekend of January 28th and 29th next year.
Looking forward to making it up there for that one again. That one's always the classic, as you say.
Yeah, yeah, the true in form. And this year they did not have a professional judging. It was a people's choice that was done by QR codes that you could scan, one scan per person per category of what was there happening at the Summerfest, and it'll be back to the professional judging next winter.
Good.
I'll tell your listenership out there, pencil in on your calendar the October 14th through 16th, Alaska Crafted Beer Festival. And that's in the works right now with details to follow. I was there last year, well, the year before, I should say, the pre-COVID version anyway, and it was at Choku Charlie's, and it was incredibly well done for what it was. So there's one to look forward to that's another one that's up and coming.
Excellent.
Well, it's good to see it all coming back. You know, COVID has a tendency to change all that, but with change can sometimes come pain and certainly some gain, and I think we're seeing a combination of both. As you stated in your recap of the Peninsula Festival down there, I think the trend is purposely limiting capacity so that it doesn't become just sort of a free-for-all, and rather a structured event that really does target true beer aficionados and people that love and want to learn more about their, you know, about beer and the other fermented beverages. So it's a good thing.
So from your vantage point, looking at the whole of the Alaska beer industry, how would you say we have done weathering COVID? I have been actually fairly surprised at how resilient the industry has been. Would you agree with that?
I would agree wholeheartedly, Bill. I think that's a really good point. It's good to bring up because to my knowledge and talking to the Brewers Guild of Alaska and the folks there, we did not lose a single brewery. In fact, we gained some, which is really telling. It tells me that the culture of craft beer remains hugely welcome and sought after in our state. And as importantly, I think there's plenty of room for the additions and then some. I think that what we're beginning to see is not only a few more showing up here in the larger metropolitan area of Anchorage, but some on the outside. For example, Big Delta Brewing Company kind of slid in quietly in Delta Junction under the radar in December. Now, Big Delta's been operating, and they are not producing their own beer yet because of licensing, but they're featuring guest beers of the region up there. And I've gotten reports of people have gone through. It is definitely a brew pub arrangement up there. And they're serving some killer pizza to the point that the day that they opened, it about shut down the Richardson Highway through Delta Junction with so many people lined up down the road waiting to get pizza. So I can't imagine what it'll be look like when they start to pour their own beer.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to talk pizza, you have to talk about Bear Paw River opening a new place in Wasilla with their wood-fired pizza oven. I've heard people say they've got the best pizza in the valley. Don't know that I'm qualified to judge, but some people from the valley have told me that.
No, you're exactly right. And I'm not the best person to judge because I've yet to get out there. There's so much going on now that beer is fully out in the open again post-COVID and our brewers are brewing with fervor. It's hard to keep up with, and I am definitely overdue for a valley tour.
So I hear that there's a new brewery, another new brewery getting ready to open in Anchorage on Arctic, just south of Dowling, if I remember correctly, Brewworks.
Yeah, and Brewworks has been in development, and they're off of 59th, and they're kind of on the corridor coming out of Kincaid. Real nice new construction, real ambitious brewer. And they thought they'd be open at Solstice, but as we all know, the best laid plans, as has been quoted too many times, people, brewers get a little more ambitious, and they're still awaiting certain sort of regulatory and inspection holds up. But I anticipate that any day. Add to that Raven's Ring in the Huffman corridor down there, the big shopping corridor there in Huffman. They're kind of to the south of Motley Moo Ice Cream for ice cream aficionados that might frequent that place. But they're looking at a very late fall opening as well. They're going to also make wine there in addition to beer. And so we're seeing them continue to flourish here locally and around the state.
Yeah, it's getting very difficult to keep up with them all. Every time I turn around, I seem to be hearing about a new one that I hadn't heard about before. Had the Stony River sneak in down here on the peninsula. I hadn't heard about them until they were already open.
Yeah, that's a good call. I'd forgotten about them as well. Yeah, so it's good testimony that not only do we have a palate for all of this, there's support for it, and once they get open, they all tend to develop a very quick cult following. I think beer, the footprint, again, as we talked about before, for breweries is becoming smaller, and they're becoming very geocentric down to the neighborhood level in some cases. And I think that's sort of the trend in the lower 48 right now. So it's a good thing. I just don't have one in my neighborhood yet.
Yeah. Well, if we could ever get the laws in the state reformed, then maybe we could have one on every corner like a Starbucks. But I don't see that coming anytime real soon.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Speaking of Anchorage Brewing Company, I saw the pictures that Gabe posted of his beautiful cool ship online. I don't know if you've seen it or in the flesh or in the wood or just the photos, but that's going to be amazing when he starts brewing his spontaneously fermented beers that he lets get inoculated in his cool ship.
Correct. Yeah. And, you know, it's got its own dedicated cool ship room above the new addition to the brewery, another 30,000 square feet out there with a garden and an orchard and the Familia, the restaurant that is run by his sister and her family, will have a dedicated kitchen, let's put it that way, and some restaurant space. But the cool ship in particular is interesting to me because I'm sure in ancient times, and my history is probably not as strong as yours, certainly up here and probably in many parts of the United States, it'll be the first time that they've employed or a brewery's employed a wooden cool ship. Mm-hmm. Your standard cool ship's a shallow pan designed affair that's rectangular, shallow-ish, and they tend to be long, whereas his is a little deeper and it's entirely constructed of wood. So of course, you know, it's going to be a work of art.
Of course.
Yeah. But
everything in that brewery is.
Yeah. Yeah. I have not seen it in person, but I haven't been down to ABC, even though they're down the street, in some time either. So just keeping up with out there remains a challenge when I think we're hitting a double nickel or 55 breweries in our state right now.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge because every time I turn around, one seems to be a new one is opening or somebody has brought something else online, and just trying to keep up is becoming a full-time job.
Yeah, and I've long postulated that one of my goals in life, and maybe it'll be up and coming when I retire or something like that, is I want to visit every single brewery in the state from end to end, kind of nonstop. But if anybody has ever stopped and penciled out the logistics of that, and, you know, forget about the cost, forget about the travel cost, but the amount of time it would take to visit every brewery end to end in this state would be formidable. I did it once when I retired from the military. I didn't do it, but I planned it, and I said, I don't have that much time in life.
That's right. It's like trying to hit all the Major League Baseball parks for a game. It can be done, but it takes a lot of planning.
Yeah, and I'd welcome any feedback from anybody out there that has done this or knows if somebody has, because I'd interview them in a heartbeat and say, I want to know what it took to do it.
So what else do you see coming down the pike on the big beer scene? Everywhere I look, everybody seems to be moving more and more towards cans. I don't know how much longer it'll be before nobody in Alaska is bottling at all. but it wouldn't surprise me if we got there one day. Seems to be like everything is moving towards cans.
Well, I agree with you. There's a lot. There's a number of breweries right now that are moving in that direction purposely because more so, I think, than anywhere else in the nation, cans make sense up here. Bill, you and I have talked about this before, but for example, when you look at a lodge owner that's ferrying beer to feed thirsty outsiders, visitors, and locals alike in a remote lodge, they typically put them in the floats on a plane. And when you compare the weight of a case of bottled beer versus canned beer, a case of bottled beer weighs 11 pounds more. That's a true logistical challenge. Then, of course, there's packet in, packet out mentality, environmental. And cans, of course, are more of what the brewer intended because they block out damaging light and they have less headspace. So I am one of the biggest fans of canned beer and always will be. But you've got to balance that against challenges in the industry right now. And that is represented in the aluminum can shortage and the aluminum shortage in general, to the point where Midnight Sun took two of its core beers out of the canned beer mix because they couldn't get the blanks.
That's been a big issue down here. Kenai River, I think they had last year, they ended up buying cans from the Philippines. It's the only place they could find them available.
Correct. And anybody that's a big King Street IPA fan, people will note of late, two things happened late, mid last year. I was experiencing, it's one of my go-to IPAs, and I'd buy it at Costco by the case. And I'd go to pull those wide mouth openings off that encompass almost the entire top of the can with the intent of assisting the drinker really get the most out of the one of the primary contributors to enjoying an IPA, and that's aroma. But I was pulling off the pop tops. They were just breaking off. And I said, well, I'm going to have to talk to the brewery about that and say, I wonder if anybody else is noticing this too. And then I started seeing normal standard opening sizes on the King Street IPA. And that was predicated by the same thing. The supplier that provided those wide mouth pull-offs dropped them in deference to larger accounts elsewhere. They had to scramble. They tried getting a supplier to get them a reasonable facsimile, and that's where I was getting the ones that were pulling off, and the quality wasn't good enough for King Street. So they're still waiting to see if they can go back to that format. But it's interesting.
That has been the story across the board in not just the beer business, but in everything. It seems that we've had just and continue to have these supply disruptions where stuff just isn't available, you know?
Yeah, COVID being the perfect storm there. But look at where the market is for canned products. You know, let's forget about aluminum, vegetable, and edible products. But we had the seltzer movement explode into the market with force, unprecedented, unpredictable force that now is competing for the same aluminum. And even canned water is on the market now. Canned wine is on the market, and there are a lot of breweries that aren't even intending, like you said, to purchase a bottling line just because cans have those additional features of durability and then the environmental piece, and certainly because I think they feature a product better.
Well, you said the S word, which is seltzers. What's your take on it? Passing fad? Is this another cloud that's blowing by, like ice beers and dry beers and hard soda pop and all the ones we've seen in the past? Or do you actually think these things have some staying power?
Yeah, I think seltzer's probably going to be around. I think it's here to stay. The permanency of it, I can attest to. I don't think it's taking people away from the craft beer market. It's adding a segment for the craft brewer. But at the same time, they have a pretty big following. You wouldn't see as much of it on the market, I don't think, if it wasn't as popular. I am not a fan. I'll be honest with you. It's not a beverage that appeals to me. And that's no indictment on the beverage itself. It's just not in my taste vocabulary right now. But I'm seeing an awful lot of it out of there, just like we all kind of thought for a while this whole IPA thing was going to be, I wouldn't say a fad. IPAs will never be a fad. But I didn't think that IPA movement would maintain the force that it's got today, where that seems to be the Pabst Blue Ribbon of the craft beer world right now, is that style, where it just seems to continue to morph into something different every day. I think our brewers have put just about anything imaginable you can put into an IPA.
I saw that at the festival when Girdwood showed up with their orange creamsicle flavored IPA with orange and vanilla and lactose in their IPA. And I was like, yeah, okay. We've officially jumped the IPA shark here. Well, that's what people want. So give them what they want.
And, you know, I'll just let the fermento side of me come out, but damn it, it better taste like an IPA before it tastes like a kumquat. You know, I need to know I'm drinking an IPA first. And it's the same thing with a coffee beer. It's the same thing with a chocolate beer, a peanut butter beer.
Yeah, it's beer first and everything else second.
Yeah, it needs to be balanced. And I think we've moved away from balance and focused on, in some cases, what sells and profitability and market. And that's okay if there's a market for it. But this whole thing with milkshake IPAs, I mean, what's next? I scratch my head and go, I don't know what the next crave will be. I remember when hazy IPAs came out, and that caught me by surprise. And I'm like, you know what? I actually really like hazy IPA. Mm-hmm. And that one kind of stuck with me. So I think it all has to do with the individual palate.
Well, I'm afraid, Jim, we're showing our age, because I can remember when brewers used to work hard not to have their beers be hazy. That was one of the big things we tried to do, was let's make our beer drop bright so it looks nice.
Can't agree with you more. And, you know, I had to challenge myself. Well, I want to go find a real English IPA and a real reach back to the original IPAs, Burton on Kent and back in that time. And they're increasingly rare. So,
yeah. Not a lot of them being imported anymore. Notice, beers like Young's Special London Ale and things like that that you used to be able to get a couple of decades ago, now they're not available in the States. You can only thing you can get is their double chocolate stout or their banana flavored beers. Their standard stuff doesn't even get imported anymore.
Dan, you're right. Talking to the brewers, what I think the American consumer right now, again, you and I dating ourselves, the trend in craft beer right now and today is the consumer is actually somewhat less interested in overall real defined characterized quality than they are diversity and variety. That's what brings people back to a brewery, is seeing something different. They don't want to go in and drink the same thing over and over again. They want to entice and excite their palate with something new almost through every visit. And I think breweries have stepped up to that mantra, but at the expense to true consistent form anymore. I mean, I wonder where Beer Judge certification or BJCP style guidelines are go. There's stuff out there you can't even describe. And how does that fit into a category? How does a emergent beer judge or a seasoned beer judge like you or I actually sit down and critically evaluate a beer on what characteristics are we holding the brewer accountable? And that, I think, is going to increasingly be a challenge. And I hate to see it become sales at the expense of some of our true styles out there that we beloved for years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hate to see some of the classics fall by the wayside, because they're classics because they were so well made and people have been drinking them for decades, you know. And I will be very surprised if we're still drinking milkshake IPAs 20 years from now, the way we're drinking Sierra Nevada Celebration Ale or some of the other classics out there.
Right. And remembering Sierra Nevada Celebration, the likes of that, and some of the other big knee knockers, not so much in alcohol content, but IBUs, they were foreign to us as well. Nobody can, well, few people cannot remember the IPA wars when, oh yeah, you got 100 IBUs in your beer, watch this. And then the 200 IBU classes came out. And I went to a brewery in Denver where I drank a 1,200 IBU beer. And, you know, it's like, what's the point?
Yeah. Particularly when your palate can't taste anything beyond 75, I think they say. It's like having the stereo that can do the frequencies you can't hear. Yeah. Well, hey, Jim, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. Always a pleasure.
It's equal, Bill. I always love talking to people out there that truly love good beer. That's what it's all about. Keep doing the good work, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Jim Roberts, Dr. Fermento from the Anchorage Press. We'll be right back with our next segment here on KDLL 91.9 FM Kenai Soldotna.